You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Pope Francis is set to canonise Blessed John XXIII on April the 27th. This 20th century pontiff, who was elected to the See of Peter on the 28th of October 1958. Stay tuned as I bring you echoes of that era with the help of interviews from my personal archive, which include guests such as Cardinal William Wakefield Baum, Monsignor Charles Burns, the late Princess Orietta Doria Pamphili, the late Carmelite Father Redemptus Vallebec, the late Ursuline Sister Kathleen England, but also, rather naturally, Vatican Radio archive recordings of his election and recordings of the voice of this much-loved Pope speaking in Italian.
Della Chiesa è innanzitutto espresso dal Papa, ma egli non fa tutto lui.
John the 23rd, oh, a wonderful person. The simplicity of a great saint, I think. I think he was absolutely wonderful. And what he did in 4 years is incredible. Knowing he was a sick man when he started. And I think he was terrific.
Princess Orietta Doria Pamphili put into words the feelings felt by anyone who ever met Pope John the 23rd.
Wonderful. All the things weren't hoped for happened.
Did you ever have a private audience with him in the Vatican?
Yes, we went to we asked for a Baciamano, because we were told it was the right thing to do, to ask for an audience. We didn't see why we should waste the poor man's time just chatting to us, so we asked Robert Chaman, who had a good compromise, and he was after a great charm and real feeling of sanctity.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum, habemus papam.
On the 28th of October 1958, as a young seminarian, Carmelite Father Redemptus Vallebec had joined the excited crowds in St. Peter's Square to hear the name of the new Pope being announced, he recalled how, despite the excitement, the Roman crowds bandied about bewildered comments when they discovered the newly elected Pope was unknown to them and an old man.
Eminentissimum ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Angelum Josephum, Sante Romane Ecclesie Cardinale Meroncalli.
From what I remember, the reason why he was elected is he had a lot of friends among the cardinals. He had been patriarch in Venice, that was his last assignment. See, all those cardinals from the East, as they came to Rome, would have stopped in Venice. The cardinals from Germany and Central Europe would have stopped there. He was a very hospitable, good person, very open, and the grandfather type. And he was that even with his fellow bishops and cardinals, I'm sure. So that they would have been impressed with that. He knew them and he supported them very much. But don't forget, the rest of his career, too, he would have had connections in France where they knew him to be a very open fellow. He had been in the Balkans, so that he would be given credit, you know, that he would know something of that situation, which in those days was quite critical.
Anyway, he turned out to be a very different pope to the one they expected.
Oh, very, very different, yeah. I think they expected more of a calm, peaceful type of papacy, but think what it is, he realized he didn't have much time. That was my impression. So he seemed to always be going full speed ahead in his own way, you know, not running around, of course, but doing things that we didn't know, we didn't expect him to do.
Qui sibi nomen imposuit Ioannis vigesimi terzi.
I remember that I was in the Caribbean working when John the 23rd was elected. And we looked at each other. We were horrified that Pius the 12th had died, because we thought he was going to live forever, I think. And we looked at each other and said, goodness, but this man is 77 or something when he was elected. And someone said, well, he's a transitional pope. And so, as it turned out, he was the great man whom the Lord wanted to throw a bombshell into the church.
When news of John XXIII's election reached her, Ursuline sister Kathleen England was serving as a missionary right across the world. She too recalled her bewilderment at the election of this elderly pope, swiftly muting into amazement at the speed with which he launched the Catholic Church on one of the most momentous epochs in its history.
As he said, we needed to wake up. We needed to open the windows. As I'm quoting John XXIII, I don't think anyone can take offence of it. He said, we need to open the windows. And he did. Many people in his entourage were shocked almost and said, how is this going to be managed? But he managed it.
Why were people shocked? Was that, well, I mean, you know, Second Vatican Council and that for now is history. But then why was it such a bombshell? Why?
Well, nobody expected him to do anything anyway. He was an old man and he was a very simple approach to everything, and they never dreamed that he would do such a thing.
We were all taken aback when we saw how small Pope John was. He seemed a kind of little miniature sort of person in comparison with the figure of Pius XII. This stubby little character seemed a complete contrast with Pius XII.
In those years, Monsignor Charles Burns was studying for the priesthood at one of the pontifical universities.
Two different people. It was still the same world, it was still the same church, but they were quite different people. And certainly what we didn't for a moment suspect was that within 2 or 3 months, when was this? He was elected the end of October of 58. And 25th of January of 59, he calls the Ecumenical Council. Well, that morning, coming down to the Gregorian with all the newspapers, all the headlines, Ecumenical Council called.
Il convenire odierno del Sacro Collegio Cardinalizio. Della prelatura e del popolo romano in questa basilica di San Paolo fuori le mura.
He did this on his own. Even his Secretary of State, as far as I know, Cardinal Tardini, didn't know about this. He called this a council when he was out in St. Paul's Basilica on the 25th of January. And it was one of three things that he announced: the revision of canon law, which already was a big thing, then the Synod for Rome, and the Second Vatican Council. And the cardinals were astounded, because I remember one of them thought he was hearing things. He couldn't believe it. They had spoken about a council under Pius XII, but they had decided against it because it was complicated. And of course, you stir up things that sometimes it's better left lie fallow. So they decided against it under Pius XII. And that's why I think they felt if Pius XII, who was an intellectual, couldn't handle it and didn't feel that it was the right time, you know, how would this rather simple man do it? But that was what he called the inspiration of the Spirit. He felt that the Spirit was calling him to do that, to let a bit of fresh air into the church, and to open up windows. And he has used that expression, and I think he meant it literally, to open up new venues for the church.
Venerabiles fratres, gaudet mater ecclesia, quod singulari divine providentiae munere, optatissimus iam dies illuxit, quon auspice Dei para Virgine, cuius materna dignitas odie festu ritu recolitur, hic ad beati Petri sepulcrum, concilium ecumenicum Vaticanum secundum, solemniter...
Truly launched something in the church that has made a great difference, and we're still trying, I believe, to assimilate the council to all of its meaning and its lessons. But certainly Pope John XXIII was a figure of the utmost importance. He was very interested in church history and in the history of thought. I think that's not always understood.
While still a young priest, American Cardinal William Wakefield Baum actively took part in the Second Vatican Council.
Communicate that to us both before and during the Council.
What can you remember about the beginning of the council? Presumably you were there for the opening ceremony.
Oh, yes. It was, of course, overwhelming. That the first topic taken up by the fathers of the council was the liturgy. In my naivete, I had not foreseen that. But now, looking back, I see that it was significant and is the right choice to begin with the liturgy. The liturgy is what shapes us. It is so vital in the lives of all the faithful, not just of theologians, teachers, bishops, but of all the faithful, so that we began with the liturgy, gave to the council, I'd say, a pastoral tone and significance.
Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti descendat super vos et maniat semper.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.